This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
A very good afternoon to our listeners. We're so excited this afternoon to have a special guest once again. But I'm Calvin.
And I'm Terry.
And this is Couples of Destiny, coming to you live once again from the studios here at Radio K Pulpit. We have wonderful guests. We know each other for quite some time, and we really knitted together, this family that's here this afternoon, and I just know they're going to bless us. I'm so excited because this man and this woman of God, they're filled with so much wisdom, and oh man, they just do so much for the community. So we have, I have to give him his title because he gave me the title back to me, Reverend Jonathan and Jenny Clayton. And why don't you just greet the listeners?
Good morning to you all. It's so good to be with you.
Good afternoon, listeners.
My apologies. Maybe it's just nervousness.
That's why you need the woman, hey?
Yes,
that's why we need
that's
the woman.
True.
And they're really going to bless us this afternoon. You know, we're going to talk about family restoration. And who better to ask than this couple talking about restoration? So we're going to get stuck into that very soon. And so we want you guys just to strap yourselves in. We've got a Facebook page. Please send us messages. Maybe you have questions. And as it's blessing you, as you're getting these nuggets from this couple, we want to see what it means to you so we can share it to the rest of the community as well. So we're going to go over to a song break now by Hillsong Worship. Says, "Who You Say I Am." Mm. Family, we are live here at Cape Pulpit, and we have exciting guests that are really going to bless us. Our topic this afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit about family restoration, and who better to talk about family restoration than the couple we have here, Jonathan and Jenny. They are chaplains, and they do a lot for the community. So I'm going to just ask them to introduce themselves and just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yes, as I said, good afternoon, listeners. We are Jonathan and Jenny Clayton, and we are friends and a married couple for many, many years. I met Jenny at the age of 16 years old.
Whoa. Wow.
And I was 17, but my life took a different direction. She still stayed focused, and 14 years later, there was just a relationship that started that no one of us planned 14 years later. And today we are married for almost 32 years now.
Praise God.
We are now 32 years married, and then we've got two daughters, and then we've got another daughter that we adopted into a family, and a young boy that is now 6 years old. He was 3 months old, 6 months old when He came into our lives. Sure. So we are in prison ministry for 34 years.
Wow.
And then the founders and executive directors of Hope Prison Ministry.
Mm. Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome. Jenny and yourself?
Yes, I think Jonathan gave a very good summary of who we are. He just didn't say that I met him at his girlfriend's house.
Well, that sounds familiar.
But yeah, we're thankful for this opportunity to share today, and we thank God for our four children that He's blessed us with, and our two son-in-laws, and our new grandson.
Oh, that's
we
so
thank
sweet.
God.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. You know, there's a scripture I want to read before I really get into some questions that we want to ask you. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And I believe that's going to be a good foundation for our topic this afternoon on really family restoration. So if I ask a question, one of the questions this afternoon, you guys know a bit about restoration, as you mentioned, you're in, you know, in prison ministry and all that, but because this is your field. Can you possibly tell us what your definition of restoration is? We know what the Word of God says, but what is your definition? You're working in the field.
Yeah, for us, you know, the dictionary definition is obviously restoration is bringing something back to its original state.
Yes.
And so for us, restoration can only happen through God. Obviously, He's the creator. And for us, restoration is about restoring lives, which you cannot restore without knowing what's broken, and you cannot restore without healing. So it's about healing, and it's about knowing what needs to be healed and made whole again so that it can get back to what God intended it to be. And so that is for us what our main focus is: healing, restoring lives, and relationships. And they go in that order. You cannot expect a relationship restored if the life is not restored.
Sure. That's powerful. Really powerful. Really
and then
powerful.
We also have to look at everybody that was affected by the broken relationships. And not ignore those affected ones. But restoration and healing, everybody must come on board.
Sure.
I was just thinking about this now. When we mentioned earlier, just in passing while you were coming into the reception area, about how this started for you. Do you want to just tell the listeners?
Yeah, to be very honest, I only realized during the prison ministry, prison chaplaincy, the more effects of my own life. Because I always blame my father for even me land up in prison and being behind bars for 3 years and 14 days. I will never forget the 14 days, because the 14 days was the longest waiting to be released.
Yeah.
And then further hate and anger and bitterness grew in my heart. Because of what happened in our family, and that's why I blamed him, and that was my reason for landing up in prison, although it was a shorter term than many others, but I never made that connection of deeper issues in my life.
Yes,
it was afterwards, but. That's why I now more understand that I won't say God put me through this. Yeah. I land up in prison because of my wrong choices.
Yes.
And my prison sentence was the consequences of my decisions.
Poor choices.
You see.
Yeah.
And but I learned a lot after my release. Number one, I learned that restoration has to take place with everybody that's affected, because when I turned back to God during my prison sentence, which I said to my fellow inmates at NICE in the prison, I will never serve God again.
Sure.
And that was because somebody came to visit me, and as I wanted to sit down, the person said, "You don't have to sit down. I'm just here to tell you your mother's got cancer because of you. And you only serve God when you're in trouble." And I promised myself, just because of that word, I will never serve God. That's why I can't even say that I decided to return to God. I was a backslider.
Okay.
17 years old, I backslid. I said I had an encounter with God in my prison cell. 31st of August, 1988. Sure. I had that encounter. I was shocked to realize I'm here praying to God. And that was my encounter. And that is where my journey started. And even of the seven different prisons that I was transferred to and land up at Portsmouth Maximum and then Portsmouth Minime, some of the guys even will tell my wife that their pastor is Jonathan Clayton, which was not true. I was never a pastor. I was just serving God behind bars.
Yeah.
And I also thought I've got it now, until this beautiful lady was waiting for me at the entrance of Paul Small.
Sure.
Waiting for me to go on my knees and kiss Paul Small's entrance goodbye. Excited to go out, she said to me, the first thing that I would like you to do, I'm going to take you now to Paul to meet up with your father.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, don't do that to me.
Sure.
How can you do that? She said, if you can just do the right thing. And yeah, it is just amazing how God work out things. Because from Paul Small to Paul, my mind is, what will I do if this man tells me at least I never land up in prison?
Mm.
What will he say to me that will hurt me more? Will I tell him, you know, I just came out of prison, so don't mess with me. But it's amazing. As I saw him there, and I was coming to the gate, I didn't know what to do. And a little boy came from my left-hand side, and he ran right into me. He threw his arms around my legs, and I looked down, and he looked up, and he shouted, Buddha! And I asked my father, who's this? He said, it's your brother.
Sure.
I picked him up. I walked to my father. There was no words. We just hugged each other.
Wow. Jonathan, you're touching on some sensitive points this afternoon, because I've got a follow-up question on these role models and fathers. We're going to go for a quick break right now for King and Country with Jordan Sparks. Love me like I am. Stay tuned with us, listeners. Family, you're on Radio K Pulpit this afternoon, and we just got stuck into some serious talk around about family restoration. And Jonathan and Jenny have been sharing some nuggets. Just before we went on the break, you spoke about the father that you got restored or met after those few years. So I want to just ask a question, maybe just to build on that, Jonathan. you've seen firsthand the destructive force of the lack of proper role models in a person's life. Can you tell me what the importance of fatherhood is in a relationship?
Yeah, personally, I came to realize that fatherhood is a practical journey other than motherhood in terms of the pregnancy, the umbilical cord, and the breastfeeding and the nurturing, where fathers has to step in a practical way by having a listening ear, having time for your children to be sensitive to their feelings and their thoughts and even their statements that they're making during their childhood days. And as a father, you're almost like your ears needs to be on the ground. There is no way that you can say that you don't have time now. You have to make time. So it's a practical journey to make an impact. And if you lose that, you can lose your child.
Sure.
And if I can use an example that our youngest daughter, I know she won't mind because I use this all the time. I said to her at the time of a dialogue with her, because Jenny said, if your hair is not washed, you can't go with us to your grandmother.
Right.
Unfortunately, we had to rush down there because grandmother was sick. And she said, I'm not going to go because my hair is not washed. She had a very good point. 4 years old, sitting with her in the study, dialogue with her. And my conclusion was, my darling, you won this case now because your arguments is good. That was that I said to my wife, this is going to be a lawyer. She is a lawyer today in the UK.
Wow.
And I realized for 4 hours, I dialogued with this girl.
Sure.
And said, but now that I know how you think and how you feel, I said to her, but I've got one problem. We can't leave you here because I've got a responsibility towards God and the government. I can't leave a four-year-old girl alone in the house. How can you give me advice on that? She said, Daddy, you win this case. Let's go. So time, and there was one more where myself and Jenny decided, and I learned that from Joss McDowell when we were in the States, and he said to us as pastors in one of his books, he said, go back home and ask your children, what do they think of Jesus? And don't take for granted that your children just know it because you're a pastor.
Yes.
So we sat down with our girls, 9 years old and 12 years old at the time, and said, girls, we're going to have a special dinner. We want to know, how do you feel about us? And this young girl that was 4 years old, 9 years old now, said, Daddy, can you handle this? I said, my darling, we're giving you this opportunity to tell us how you feel. She said, well, Daddy, here's my sister. Whenever I listen to you, when you make promises, I will tell my sister, don't listen to him. He's a liar.
Wow.
And we were shocked. And then she told me why. The promises that I make, and I don't fulfill that promises.
Mm.
And I gave her the right then to challenge me for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And she's doing that in a very respectful way. She will always ask questions. And I realized that the practical involvement of you as a father plays a role. Then the last one is, as an example, is when we did a parenting course through the Alpha parenting course, I found what was standing out for me when they interviewed young people between the age of 35 and 45, and they asked them in the UK, what do you remember as your childhood days? And they said, when our parents played with us. And whenever we go on holiday, wherever we go to the beach or the swimming pool, that's what we did with our children. That's what I did as a father while Jenny is busy with preparation of food and everything. Then I will take them to the beach and we will play. And that memory is still very evident in their lives. So fatherhood is a practical journey.
Sure.
It's not what I say you must do.
Wow.
It's you need to live out something practical.
Wow.
If I can just add to that, is that, you know, coming to work in a prison, we realize the devastation of lives when there is an absent father. And international statistics tells us that 95% of people, of men behind bars, had no loving father figure as a role model.
Wow.
And that's no longer just men. I mean, that's women as well. And as we work with them behind bars, it's even higher now. And the destruction of that, and for women, they are left without a role model of what a man, a good and a godly man, should look like and be like. And so they make wrong choices of men in their lives because they didn't see what it should look like. And so they don't know what love should look like. And so they confuse love with lust and loneliness. And so that father figure is so important to teach the children healthy love, to teach children healthy authority, because a lot of our men and women behind bars that have not had a father figure, they have a challenge with submitting to authority. And so it is very, very challenging when the father figure is absent.
Sure.
We also find when we call on the families to our processes, especially the restorative justice process, where we work on the family reconciliation process, because when we bring them together, it's not going to be resolved there. It's a process. Then we see almost 10% fathers present. The majority are mothers that are present. Very few fathers. But then also the father ego, the man ego, is also one of the reasons why fathers becomes more tough.
Yeah.
Where we hear that when there is a challenge in with the children in terms of their behavior, the fathers want to put them out.
Yeah.
And some of the fathers say that I'm serving even God, and I'm not going to allow this kind of sin in my house. And that's your child. Where must that child go? It's our responsibility to nurture that child. It's our responsibility to guide and mentor that child. But we also need to be healed, and we also need to be restored, and we also need to be that example in a practical way. And not saying that I'm a man of God and I am your father and you're going to listen to me.
Sure. This is some deep stuff that you're talking about, Jonathan and Jenny. And I mean, we're about to go over to our next break right now. But we want to ask the listeners, if you're listening this afternoon, it's really powerful stuff. I got a message here from John Mankopan. He says, fatherhood is a practical journey. Such a powerful statement. Wow. So people are listening, and I trust that they will take these nuggets. I love what you said about the man of God, the man of God that makes the rules and says, it's my way or the highway. And really, if there are pastors listening, if there are men of God listening out there, you got to love your child. If you give them into the hands of someone else, it might be an abuser or someone that will lead them on a further wrong destructive
path. About the child? If the child is over 18 and they are regarded as no longer your responsibility, but they're still in the home.
Yeah.
Would you say that will still apply?
Well, we experience personally that you can't cut the ties, even if they turn 18 and even if they get married. Because there is that instinct from within you,
parental,
as parents, to still be there, giving them their space. Our eldest daughter told us once that you guys need to learn to live a balanced life. Just not focus it now, exam. Just focus on exam, nothing else.
Yeah.
She said, have a balanced life. We learn from that. We nurtured them under 10 already. If you're going to have a boyfriend one day, will you allow three of us to tell you what we think of this boyfriend? And vice versa. And this is how we journey. And so we also journeyed with him. You can only start a relationship if you turn 18. And they agreed, but when they turned 16, they were not very happy that they said yes. But they pushed through. And God gave them the wisdom to choose the right husbands.
Sure. That's powerful.
Waiting.
We're going to go over to a song break. Please send us your messages. There's lots more coming. Stella says, set our hearts on you. Family, we are on Radio K Pulpit this afternoon, and we have really been digging deep into family restoration. Jonathan and Jenny has been giving us such beautiful nuggets. And I mean, I've still got so many questions for you, Pastor Jonathan, but I have to pick the right one. And really, there's one that stands out here. That I really feel in relationships, it's important. I would ask, what is the importance of honesty in the relationship?
Wow, for me, that's a big challenge. For my wife, that's a God-discerned blessing. And she's got a way. She will not tell me, hey, you're lying to me.
Yeah.
She will ask me the right questions. Then sometimes I confess and come out with the truth.
Yeah.
As a man of God.
Yes.
You know, and I realize also that I came into this relationship and into this marriage also as a broken man. And if I didn't allow Jenny, which I still recognize right from the day I met her at 16 years old on the 1st of January 1978.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up to this woman spiritually up till today. And if it wasn't for her, I wonder what my life would have been like. Because God used her to mentor me, to challenge me, and to help me through life. There was a time that she was even saying, don't search for significance. And so there are times that because of my own weaknesses, because of guilt and shame and regret, that lies kicks in.
Yeah.
So I can't say today that, no, I don't have a problem with honesty.
Mm.
Because this is the topic that we teach within our correctional facilities. The four core values is trust, respect, honesty, and integrity.
Mm.
And I need to be very honest with my clients that I also struggle in that area,
yeah,
as a man of God.
Yeah.
But I will work on it and work on it, and I will be honest. If there is something, then I will tell my wife.
Sure.
No, that's true.
Mm. That is so powerful. I just love that. You being open, you being transparent as a man of God this afternoon. And I hope all of us, I'm listening myself as well. I mean, there's times that I can't tell my wife about silly things, you know, at the end of the day. And again, it speaks to honesty. But she'll eventually come to me and say this, that, and I'll say, yeah, you know, I was going to do this or whatever the case may be. So thank God for our wives that have that discernment.
Oh, hallelujah.
You know, where would we be? Lost as men. We need our wives.
Yeah.
We need our wives. Yeah, so, you know, I spoke about a while back in our teachings on this radio station about forgiveness at the end of the day. And, you know, the question I want to ask this often is, what if the hurt is so deep that people battle to forgive? How do we get them to that point to surrender?
Yeah, there is unfortunately no healing without forgiveness.
Mm.
And so I think it's journeying with the person and also knowing that, you know, forgiveness is not a feeling.
Yeah.
Hurt is a feeling.
Yeah.
And a fact. But forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is a choice that we make in spite of our feelings. And we choose forgiveness, first of all, to obey God. You know, correct. Jesus said that if you forgive, then I will also forgive you.
Mm.
And then he went on to say, but if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you.
Sure.
And those words are they dangerous?
Yeah.
Because that is something that tells me I cannot afford to not forgive. If I don't forgive others, I'm cutting off my own forgiveness.
Mm.
And so I forgive not only to obey God, but I forgive because I also need forgiveness from God and from others. And so that is why I need to forgive, so that I keep the channel open for the forgiveness that I also need. And so, yes, it's easier said than done when people are struggling with their hurt, but God is bigger.
Yeah.
And God is the only one that is able to heal us,
yeah,
in that journey. But if we don't forgive, it's like drinking poison and thinking somebody else is going to die. You know, so when we forgive, we're not so much releasing others. People say, I'm not going to forgive you because I will never forget what you've done. And we have these misconceptions of forgiveness.
Mm.
Forgiveness is not forgetting. You will never forget what was done to you.
Mm.
And we need to understand that yes, you will remember, but if you forgive, it's you remember differently. Yeah. You no longer remember it with that bitterness and with that anger and with that revenge. And so forgiveness, it's like it takes the poison out. It takes the dirt out of that hurt, you know, and it releases you that's carrying the unforgiveness more than releasing the other person. The person that hurt you was free already. They were released already in the sense that they carried on with their lives. Mm. And maybe hurting others again the way they hurt you, you're not keeping them.
Yeah.
You need to release so that you forgive, so that you can be released to move on to a better future and not a bitter future.
Mm.
And so that hurt will cause you to hurt others.
Yeah.
Even if it's not through crime, but even through our words, you know, bitter people and hurting people really cause hurt to others, because we carry that, and forgiveness sets us free. Yeah. Forgiveness heals us. And so that is what we want people to understand. I think many times people, it's not only the deep hurt, it's the lack of understanding and the misconception we have of forgiveness. Also thinking that if I forgive him, he think it's okay what he did to me. Yeah. It's not okay. It will never be okay. Mm. And so we need to understand that forgiveness is not saying that it's okay what somebody else did to us. Mm. And that is where, you know, I think the Word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Yeah. And so by people understanding forgiveness, I think helps to lead them. The people we work with behind bars have been cruelly and intensely hurt.
Yeah.
Most of them have been sexually abused. I mean, I speak to ladies, they've been gang raped. You know, they've been sexually molested since the age of 4 years old, 5 years old, by family members. You know, over many years, it destroyed their lives.
Sure.
And for them to then, they struggle with forgiveness. But once they understand, they realize how they've been so bound and how their hurt have destroyed their own lives. Mm. That person has carried on with their lives. Then they choose. They realize, no, I can't carry this anymore.
Wow.
And then they choose forgiveness. And we see how it flips them into the right direction, sure. How their lives change. So I think all that plays into this.
Wow. Wow. I you know, we basically ran out of time, but I love what you said. You remember it differently, the hurt. I mean, you don't forget it. I have a tendency of saying, you know, you finally forgiven someone, you know, eventually you forget it, but you're rightfully saying there's no way it's written somewhere. It's in your mind still.
Yeah.
When you see the person, that memory might pop up, but it won't be a painful memory at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know how to deal with it now at the end of the day. You've settled the score.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it adds to that is the bitterness that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So a lot of people can say they forgive, but they're still bitter.
Yeah.
Toward the persons or the perpetrators, you know, and I think that bitterness need also to be dealt with. You know, we deal with my tagline for our Women of Substance SA ministry is taking you from brokenness to wholeness.
Yeah.
So I totally identify with what you said right now. And I think a lot of people need to understand the concept and the misconception, you know, that people have about that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned something earlier about, and I know your prison ministry is something that a lot of people probably not aware of. Not everyone's aware. I only became aware of it when, I think when I started connecting with Ricardo, you know, and heard all about all of this restorative justice and everything. And they came to our church, and now some people want to get involved. And I know this is something that is expanding your reach as well, going internationally and also now touching the local prisons. You know, do you want to quickly just share with the listeners about that?
Yeah, I think when we look back over the years, the two of us was just, even in our meetings with the Baptist Union, that we just want to be Baptist chaplains within the prison. We just want everybody to know about Jesus until we journey and realize that who were all affected by this? It's the victims of crime, the families of the incarcerated, male and female, the incarcerated people, the formerly incarcerated, but also the correctional officials. Yeah. Mm. That's why we've got a fivefold ministry. We're reaching out to all these five areas because there's a need to reach out to all of them. And we were quite surprised at how God opened the doors for us where we are today, and with the restorative justice also, that that's why I said from the beginning that the restorative justice process is healing the wounds of crime and bring as much as people on board that were affected by the crime. Mm. Our community is sitting with a lot of broken and damaged victims of crime that find it difficult to deal with that anger and bitterness. That's why we have the restorative justice process and reaching out to the victims as well. And the Department of Correctional Services makes provision for that, where we have face-to-face victim-offender dialogue processes. Mm. Now, after 34 years, head office approach us to come and sign a memorandum of understanding with them, and that will give us the open door to be as we can afford it in all 243 prisons in our country. And they, to God be the glory for that.
That is so awesome.
Is that how many prisons we have?
Yes.
That is so awesome.
Sure. And people can reach out to you. We'll talk about that soon. Yeah.
We're going to go over to song break. When we come back, we're going to just pray for you. But we're going to get this couple back because there's lots more they need to share on this. So we're going to go over to We Are Messengers by God Be the Glory, or God Be the Glory by We Are Messengers. Family, we are so excited this afternoon. We've listened to an incredible time of just reflecting on what it is, you know, to be a father, a responsible parent, restoration, just so much that came through this afternoon. And we have this couple here that need to come back, Jonathan and Jenny. We want to ask you more questions, but we don't have the time. So what we're going to ask you now is really to pray. There are people that are challenged out there, difficult situations, no father, or there is a father, abusive mother, unforgiveness, and so much more. They need restoration. You guys are anointed for this, and we're going to ask you just to pray.
Before you pray, Jennifer, can I just quickly read the scripture? I want to do this is for someone out there, because when we opened up, Jenny spoke about the restoration and the meaning of the word restoration. And when God puts something together, he puts it back into the place it was, but in a better condition than what it was. So I want to read the scripture in Jeremiah 31:3. It says that the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Mm. So God is drawing someone today with that unfailing kindness, knowing that there's hope. I mean, this is Hope Prison Ministries, right? So there is hope. You can also share the contact details to anyone who wants to reach out to you for prison ministry.
Awesome.
Let's pray. Father, we turn to you this afternoon, knowing, believing, declaring that you are our only refuge and strength and help in times of trouble. We thank you, Lord, that yes, you said in this world you will have trouble. But Lord, you said we should be encouraged, because you have overcome the world. But we are so aware, Lord, that there are those and many that right now they are hurting. And Father, we want to ask that you, Lord, you who love, as we just heard now, you love those who are out there in the world, those who are hurting. You have an intense love and you have a plan, my God. And we thank you today that the blood that was shed on Calvary was not just for our sin and shame, but it was also for our pain. And Lord, we thank you that the blood of Jesus has not lost its power.
Yes.
And so, Lord, we come today and we pray for those who are hurting, Lord, from the youngest child, Lord, to that woman that is sitting, Lord, hurting, Lord, because of what was done, Lord, and what was not done that should have been done. Mm-hmm. Lord, to the oldest person, Lord, that's still in old age is carrying hurt. Mm-hmm. Lord, are carrying secrets, Lord, of pain, painful memories. And today we come to you and we pray the blood of Jesus. And we pray first of all that each one, Lord, that is hurting would call on you. Because you say, call unto me and I will answer you. Mm-hmm. You say, come to me if you are burdened and heavy laden and I will give you rest. And we pray that our people would call. And would experience that you will be faithful to your promise and that you will come, that you will forgive, that you will heal. Lord, heal the memories, heal the hurt. Lord, and you will come and step in and give a better future for the bitter present.
Hallelujah.
And so we trust you, Lord. We trust you. I pray for somebody that is struggling with forgiveness right now. And Lord, that is imprisoned, Lord, by unforgiveness, which is causing that bitterness and causing so much pain inside that is destroying them. Some even caught, Lord, in with mental illness, Lord, because they are struggling to let go and forgive. But today we pray in the name of Jesus that by your Holy Spirit you'd minister to such, Lord, and let them know, Lord, that with you what seems so impossible for man is possible with God.
Yes.
Give them the strength.
Yes.
Give them the courage to choose forgiveness.
Amen.
And
yes,
to Lord. See, Lord, what that they can give what you gave to us.
Amen.
We can give to others and experience healing and experience freedom.
Yes.
We pray for that healing. Now we pray for fathers. Lord, you say that you will turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children. We pray for that today and turn the hearts of children towards their fathers. We trust you for miracles, Lord, in parenting, miracles of healing and restoration of lives and of relationships. In the name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. How can they contact you if anybody needs to contact you?
Yeah, I think the best way is on the Hope Prison Ministry Facebook page and then also on WhatsApp. Which is 072-1327-427. And I will then share that information with Jenny as well if there's females that want to know more.
Thank you so much. We really were blessed this afternoon. We'll be back again next week between 12 and 1. Calvin and Terry signing out by Megan. There's a song by Megan Hood's The Truth.
Bye now.
Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.